You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Ohio, a woman pleads guilty to killing her boyfriend and faking a home invasion. In California, a pastor hires a hitman to kill his daughter's boyfriend. And in Utah, a 9-year-old is accused of murder with a hatchet. These stories and more are coming at you today on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. I'm looking at that thing laying in front of you, Woody.
It's Boudin, baby. That's Nunu's Boudin.
Authentic Nunu's Boudin.
That is nothing good. Better than that. It's a community coffee for breakfast.
Yeah, it looks like some other things too. But
and as they say in Lafayette, it's Cebon.
That's Cebon.
Definitely. Well,
I am 16 for 16. I have all 16 of the Sweet 16 teams I picked correctly for this tournament.
Hey,
do you believe that?
I got who I won on yesterday. My first leg of my long parlay, believe it or not, Grambling State. I knew they were playing Montana. I was like, and they were the underdogs. Grambling State was underdogs. And I was like, there's no way they're beating this guys from Grambling. And Grambling won.
That's impressive. But I got all 16 of the Sweet 16 teams.
So you bet on all 16 so you can't lose?
No, I've already won. I have.
So it's down to 16 already?
Well, this is Monday's show.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. You got me. Then I'm a winner chicken dinner too.
Okay, so no. But I think there's some Louisiana teams that could go. McNeese only lost like 2 or 3 games this year.
Right? They last year they had a losing season, and this time I think this year that new coach said they only lost 3 games. But it's going to be tough, man.
I think they may pull off the upset in the
first round. We're definitely going to see. And, we're coming to you again from Broussard, Louisiana, underneath the giant American flag.
We liked it so much, we could not leave.
And I'm eating some boudin from Nunu's, and Roy and Kristen are taking care of us. But let's get into some crime time for Monday.
And we're starting it off in Ohio, and a 36-year-old woman pleaded guilty this week to fatally shooting her boyfriend for financial reasons, trying to hide his body, and then reporting a false home invasion. On March 18th, Deborah Frazier entered the guilty plea on charges of murder with a firearm, tampering with evidence, and gross abuse of a corpse in connection with the death of Thomas Waddle. Frazier had lived with Waddle, her on-again, off-again boyfriend, for months before his death. The victim was significantly older than Frazier. The two met while working at Kroger, where Waddell had...
Nothing's more.
I knew when I said that.
Nothing's more romantic.
Right.
Was that in the dairy section, or where exactly in Kroger did they
That's
meet?
That's a good question. Let me write that. I knew when that came out, my mouth.
That's where, that's where Otter met Dean Wormer's wife. Was in the.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Vegetables can be sensual, don't you think?
Right. And the two met while working at Kroger, where Waddle had it. recently retired. He was 66 years old when he died. Now, after days of planning, Frazier shot Waddle in the back of the head with a .22 caliber pistol as the victim sat in a recliner in his living room. Frazier called the police department the next day, claiming her boyfriend's home had been ransacked and the door was open when she arrived. Frazier said there were men in the home while she was on the line with 911, and then police heard a gunshot, and Frazier claimed to have been shot. Officers responded to the home where they observed Frazier with a gunshot wound to her leg. She informed police that she had been shot by masked white men and was transported to the hospital for treatment. During a search of the home, police did recover a .22 caliber gun. They also found Waddle's body in the bedroom, which had been wrapped in trash bags, duct tape, and a comforter. Waddle's apartment appeared well-kept and orderly, and there were no indicators of drug use or drug sales, which accompany home invasions in almost all circumstances. It is suspected that the ransacking is a superficial mess-making that from the police. Nothing of value seemed to be gone, including guns, which were still on the scene. Investigators were unable to find any footage of the intruder's exit from nearby homes or businesses. A detective went to speak with Frazier and test her for gunshot residue. When Frazier heard about the testing, she changed her story and began to claim that she reached out and touched the gun that shot her.
Oh, God.
Officials say that a guilty person might change their story if they thought forensic evidence was going to expose them. Like Woody, you know, Woody says this, is famous really for saying this, and that is the truth never changes.
Exactly.
Once that story changes, you know something's wrong, right? Yep,
that's right.
An autopsy later determined that Waddle had died more than 12 hours before Frazier reported the false home invasion. Investigators also recovered evidence revealing that Frazier searched online for information about loading and firing guns. There it is with the online searches. Prosecutors believe Frazier killed her boyfriend for financial reasons. She reportedly had another boyfriend had her other boyfriend, who she had at the time, pretend to be a bank fraud investigator and call Waddle. Frazier lied about Waddle and told her other boyfriend he was a dementia patient and she was caring for him as a nurse. I know, man. This is
you can't, I don't know how she can't, up
can't
with
even
all her
bullshit about this. Frazier and Waddle shared a PNC bank account, and the balance had been drawn down to $2,000. Frazier created a fake email account and used it to send herself messages to look like fraud claims. She pretended Waddle was the fraud victim, and she had previously searched for a PNC logo and bank fraud information. Frazier manipulated her other boyfriend into making fraudulent phone calls to Waddle, and she had him drive her on the night of the killing. Investigators later identified the presence of Frazier and Waddle's DNA on trash bags and duct tape found on the scene.
That'll do it.
They also found Frazier's hair in the duct tape she used to secure the trash bags to the victim's feet. And prosecutors in this case are seeking life in prison.
As they should.
Did you start that with weeks of planning?
Yeah,
she took weeks
best laid,
to plan this.
Best
yeah,
laid
that,
plans in life, right?
I don't know what kind of grades she got in school, but my guess is they weren't very good. I mean, weeks of bad planning.
Hard to get away with murder these days.
Yeah, right.
Thankfully,
too much technology.
Yeah,
clear your search history.
That's it. Or I mean, that gets you every single case we do. It's search history, right?
Well. The masked white man got me a little bit in the beginning. If he was masked, how'd you know he was a white guy?
His hands.
Well, what if he had gloves?
He didn't. She said masked. She didn't say gloved.
Well, just because she didn't say it.
If you had a mask, you can still see.
Not if you had a good mask.
What if you?
I think Mike's diving too deep into
what
this.
What if a frog's ass was glass and it broke every time?
I just
he
think
jumped.
That's a funny. Right. That was a funny detail.
Yes, I guess
if your aunt had balls, she'd be your uncle.
Yeah.
I had an aunt that did have balls, and she was my uncle.
You shaved her back.
Oh my God! So you know it's spring break time, guys. Right? A lot of
yes,
kids definitely. Are out of school. A lot of families going to the beach, and got a story about a Georgia family that just headed to the beach for a little spring break family time. and it didn't really turn out that way. A Georgia couple has been arrested after police say they found them passed out drunk on a Florida beach while their two young children ran wild. This. Alicia Langley, age 27, and her fiancé, Timothy Stevens, age 27, were arrested and charged with child neglect. Stevens also faces charges for trying to escape police and for having alcoholic beverages on the beach. The sunburned couple were out cold along the beach Saturday when deputies from Volusia County Sheriff's Office approached them, a moment shown in body cam footage released by the department. This footage you guys have to see. We will post it. It's unbelievable. It reportedly took the deputies at least 8 tries to wake up the highly intoxicated pair. When they finally came to and were asked where their kids were, the couple had no clue. The children, age 5 and 7, were later found in a pool in the area, unsupervised, but they were safe. The body cam footage shows the deputies trying to wake up the couple. One deputy yells for them to wake up really loud and identifies himself as an officer. The video shows Stevens calling out for the 5-year-old and the 7-year-old when he finally comes to. An open beer can was found near Stevens' head. It actually, when he wakes up, the beer can goes rolling, nice. As well as multiple empty beer cans and an empty bottle of whiskey in a cooler nearby, and other various unsealed alcoholic beverages in the immediate vicinity. At one point, Langley tells the officers that her kids are right there, and she points to the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
So where are your kids? She points to the ocean. Langley and Stevens are engaged, but according to their arrest affidavit, Stevens is not the biological father, but is the legal guardian of the kids. In the video, you can hear a visibly agitated Langley telling her fiancé, "Who the fuck is going to bail us out?" She calls the cops dickheads and nice. And says that her grandfather was going to have to drive 8 hours to come and get the kids. As officers told Langley to get in the vehicle, Stevens takes off running. Now he's cuffed.
Yeah.
He gets about 25 feet before he stumbles and face plants.
Yeah,
and so when you look at the booking photos, the guy's face is all cut up and bruised from him falling on his face. So Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood shared his angst in an interview with Channel 35 in Orlando, and he said, "It just boggles my mind that you would drive here and get obliterated and allow a 5- and 7-year-old to wander off. When we wonder what we see, why kids are the way they are, you got to take a step back and look at who's in charge. And clearly these two clowns shouldn't be in charge. They can't be in charge of themselves, let alone a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old," he said. A big 10-4 on that.
Lucky though, for real, that, you know, these kids are alive. They were found in a swimming pool, 5- and 7-year-old. Oh, get the fuck out of here. And the
mother points to the Atlantic Ocean.
The ocean says, yeah, they're in the ocean. They're in the ocean. Oh, my God. You know, all kinds.
I mean, you're on vacation, folks. How could you get that obliterated?
They had the kids young and felt they missed their spring break, so we're going to have spring break anyway. Just bring the kids along. Spring break, to me, just reminds me of gallons of vodka and day trips.
Well, that's right. Me too.
Spinnakers. All the years. Yes. Yeah,
the Club La Vila.
Cashes.
Yeah. Cashes. Yeah.
I love Cashes.
I had that t-shirt.
I had this bumper sticker on my car.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates. Mm-hmm. Maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, we're going, you know, to segue. And I got the perfect segue again.
Here we go.
We had this perfect one last episode.
Journalist guys have lined up.
That's it. And, you know, we told you on the last episode how this show has been running now long enough where we can provide you with these updates on cases. Mm-hmm. Have another update for you. We told you many, many months ago about a 32-year-old mother who had left her toddler to die while she went on vacation. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that 32-year-old mother will spend the rest of her life behind bars after leaving that toddler alone while she went on vacation. It was announced on March 18th that Crystal Calderino was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the June 2023 aggravated murder of her 16-month-old daughter, Jalen. She pleaded guilty in February to one count of aggravated murder and one count of endangering children. As we told you, on June 6th of 2023, she left her daughter home alone and traveled to Detroit and Puerto Rico.
Crazy, dude.
Upon her return, she found her child unresponsive inside a pack and play pen.
Yeah.
She called the police, who subsequently responded and found the victim deceased on the scene. Police noticed the liner of the pack and play was soiled with urine and feces. And at the time of her death, prosecutors said the toddler was extremely dehydrated.
Uh-huh.
That's so horrible.
It's got to be one of the worst stories ever.
Horrible. And in a statement, police said, today we remember Jalen, a beautiful baby girl who was taken from this world due to her mother's unimaginable selfishness. The thought of going on vacation for 10 days and leaving your child to starve to death in her pack and play is a new low in parental care.
You know, I think it's, 3 days your body can go without water and 5 days without food. But I mean, that baby, this is just absolute horrible. I always put myself in the victim's mind, what they were feeling, a little baby like that starving and dehydrating to death. Come on, man. They ought to lock that woman up in a baby crib and never feed her and give her water.
What state was that in?
She took the plea deal. I think it was
Cleveland. It was Ohio.
I don't know if they have a death penalty or not. But if they do, she took the plea for that.
Yeah, that's the second Ohio death penalty we need.
Yeah, it was just an awful, awful story. But she is going to spend the rest of her life in prison. Won't be able to do that to another toddler.
Well, she should have to spend 10 days in a pack and play with
no food or water. Pissing on herself.
Capital punishment is a legal penalty in the United States, state of Ohio. Although executions have been suspended indefinitely by the governor, blah, 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 until a replacement for lethal injection is chosen.
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean.
Go to this week's Drop of Bloody Angola, and we laid out hard about executions, right?
Do we ever?
Yeah.
Well, there's a case that the state does it. I mean, that's the only fair punishment for that.
I just amazed. It just blows my mind.
All right. Well, let's go to Utah, where a boy was arrested in connection with his father's death. A 9-year-old is accused of using a gun and a hatchet to kill his father. This is according to newly released arrest warrants. The 9-year-old child was arrested in Tule, Utah, when emergency personnel responded to his home for what they thought was an attempted suicide by a man. The man, 32, was found unconscious and bleeding from a gunshot wound to his head. But the victim, who's not named in the reports, was found to have been shot in the back of the head and also had lacerations to his head, his face, his hands, and his arms, which, according to the police, ruled out the possibility of suicide. Medical personnel at the hospital advised that the lacerations to the extremities appeared to be defensive wounds. Authorities said that on the evening of the incident, the victim and his son went to bed early after the boy was allegedly misbehaving. The victim's son later emerged from the room and said that his dad was bleeding from the head and was dead. At the scene, authorities found a handgun with a bullet missing and a bloodied tomahawk-style hatchet. There were several other people present in the home at the time of the incident, including two adult roommates and their four young children. So you get six other people that were in the house at the time. The others told authorities that the boy would spend, quote, a lot of time on his cell phone and tablet, watching social media videos and playing video games. There were allegedly a number of instances where the 9-year-old was disciplined for viewing inappropriate videos and sharing the details of those videos with the other children in the home. One game he played featured similar weapons, a gun and a hatchet, as the weapons used in this real-life alleged crime.
I've been sitting here patiently listening to this. Did I get it correctly? You tell me a 9-year-old used a gun and a hatchet on his daddy.
On his daddy.
That's so fucking wrong.
Because he was angry that his daddy took his phone and his games away and made him go to bed early. So he's been arrested, but has not been charged yet, and the investigation is ongoing. But I mean
this is how the hell do you do that? Yeah, this, I mean, like Louisiana's trying to drop the age down. I don't know, bro. I mean, what the fuck do you do?
Mental, in the state of Louisiana,
you can't even put him in a juvie.
Yeah.
How old do you have to be to go into?
I think it's 11 now, but it might be. It might have changed, but the youngest we used to house when I was a supervisor at the juvenile detention center, and that basically means prison. They don't like to say arrest or of a juvenile or, you know, put them in prison. It's the detention center. But I think the youngest we have is like 11.
This was a really weird living arrangement, you know, because
all those people.
It was multiple families, or at least multiple fathers, assorted children all in this.
Surprised if somebody else didn't do it and blame it on that kid and get the kid to go along or something. I have a hard time fathoming the kid shot his dad in the back of the head. But maybe so.
I think the dependence that these kids, if they're allowed to, get on their phones and these games and the social media stuff, it can be unbelievably difficult to take them away and away from them. They lose their minds and does something crazy like that.
There you go. There you have it.
Well, let's go to California. And a California pastor has been arrested and charged, saying he contacted a hitman. Oh, police are saying he contacted a hitman in a plot to kill his daughter's boyfriend. Uh-oh. Well, that, you know, that might be understandable in some cases. For those of us that have daughters, we kind of get that. The Riverside authorities say Samuel Pasqualis offered nearly $40,000 to Juan Sobreros and other men to kill his daughter's boyfriend in October of 2023. During the investigation, detectives uncovered evidence that the father met with the men he hired and provided them with information about the victim, including the location of the victim the evening of the shooting. Detectives also determined that these men were paid almost $40,000 by the father and had conducted surveillance on the victim for weeks leading up to when they shot him. On October 21st of last year, Riverside police responded to a hospital with a report of a person who had just arrived with gunshot wounds from a shooting. The adult victim said he was driving when a vehicle pulled up alongside his and someone inside that vehicle began shooting at him. He was struck several times. The victim then drove himself to the hospital where he received treatment for his injuries. Officers were able to recover evidence from the scene of the shooting. In a follow-up investigation, the Riverside Police Department's robbery homicide unit had dug into a murder-for-hire plot. The victim had been dating a woman whose father is a pastor for a Spanish-speaking church in the city of Victorville, police said. A 47-year-old pastor is charged with solicitation of murder, conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and assault with a deadly weapon, and he is now being held on a $1 million bond, as well as the individual who was hired to kill the daughter.
Yeah.
Well,
daughter's boyfriend.
Okay. Rather. First of all, when you pay bust out retail of 40 grand to the hitman, they're supposed to get the job done. I mean, Guido would do it for like $7,500 and wouldn't screw it up. That's unbelievable that he paid that much money and that they were that bad at their job.
40 grand.
I'm almost a dumb criminal, right?
Almost.
Yeah.
A dumb pastor.
Dumb pastor. Yeah, he didn't want his daughter.
You know?
I don't know.
He made a deal with the devil. Okay, let's stay in Cali, since we're in Cali, where an L.A. woman was caught in an elaborate squatting scheme. This is a different kind of squatting scheme, and now has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. Carolina Herling, who also goes by the name Carrie Phoenix, she's 44 years old from West Hills, California, was sentenced on Friday by a U.S. district judge for targeting elderly men and taking over their million-dollar homes. Herling has also been accused of disposing of one victim's body after he died in a home that she soon called her own. Court documents revealed that Herling and her co-conspirators preyed on vulnerable victims that lived in wealthy neighborhoods and resided in homes that appeared unkept. So they would scout out these wealthy neighborhoods to look for a rundown home, figuring that someone was elderly and
taking care of it. Didn't have anybody taking care of them.
So this is how the scam works. She and her team would use online mapping programs to find affluent neighborhoods. They'd go visit those neighborhoods looking for properties with overgrown shrubs and algae-filled pools, et cetera, to identify targets. In 2020, she stumbled upon Charles Wilding's Sherman Oaks mansion, and she and her associates broke into the home, took it over, and began calling it their own. At some point in September of 2020, Wilding died. Investigators are uncertain exactly how he died, but they believe that Herling and the others took over the property while his body decomposed inside the home. Instead of reporting his dead body, Herling and her crew proceeded to steal all of his assets as his body continued rotting away. Herling allegedly used a forged power of attorney form and pretended to work on Wilding's behalf as she stole his home and took over all of his financial accounts. In 2021, the victim's neighbors reported Wilding missing, and police started to investigate. Once they got a hold of Herling, she told them that she was a close friend of Wilding's, and as the trustee of his family's trust, which had been doctored and forged to look like his mother's signature. His mother had died in 2017. She then told authorities that Wilding had moved to Sherman, moved from Sherman Oaks up to Santa Barbara, even though he's already dead. Investigators soon found that Herling and her co-conspirators relocated the victim's body to her West LA apartment and attempted to dissolve it in chemicals. When that plan failed, the scheming team decided to dismember Wilding's body and spread it throughout the San Francisco Bay. According to police, a member of her crew even took a sailboat out into the bay and dropped the body parts in the water. Wilding's remains have never been found. During Herling's hearing, Judge Mensa Frimpong, quite a name, Judge, Frimpong, said that Wilding was, quote, a man and a human being, and that Herling instead treated him like a cash register. Prosecutors said that Wilding was listed as the beneficiary and an executor to the will of another victim, but that document that Herling claimed she discovered in a safe deposit box was rented by his deceased mother, and it was also forged by her. Court documents revealed that according to the forged will, the missing victim was set to inherit an estate worth more than $1.7 million, assets that fell under Herling's control. So she did this repeatedly. She did this with four different people over a period of just a handful of years. So she used the money that that she'd made to purchase a home in West Hills, which is still in the valley a little further out. This lady's a big manipulator and con artist, and she's gotten away with using the dead. Hold her accountable and don't let her do this to anyone else. That's the heartbroken partner of one of the people she ripped off. Herling pleaded guilty to a federal charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. She has also been ordered to pay almost $4 million in restitution to the estates of the people she ripped off. This defendant's misconduct was both greedy and grotesque, causing profound pain to the victims and their loved ones. That's U.S. Attorney Martin Estrada in a press release. So this woman was diabolical.
She made her living. One, yeah.
And looks totally normal.
So,
and she's
so stupidly sick. I hope she gets what's
coming.
Why
you can't go by looks.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no doubt.
I know who
that.
You're dealing with.
But, I mean,
and they're living in the home where the guy's decomposing in the home.
Yep. I mean, I hope they had a good time. I wonder what would happen if they finally leave when the lights get turned out after a couple months or the water quits running.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Well, you know, and that's a huge fraud case, but fraud in all forms right now. I was actually speaking with Lori yesterday, and the bank fraud right now is so crazy with the technology.
Yeah.
I mean, all these elderly people are just getting hammered right now. Don't ever give out, folks, your information to someone over the phone or believe anything they say.
Yeah.
Go in and talk to your banking officials.
Right.
It's just crazy.
And if you see someone, like I saw two people the other day at my house, and the second I walked up to them, they took off. If you see two people sitting in a car outside of your home, there's sophisticated equipment that can clone a phone, a computer from a distance away.
Very good point.
Whenever I see people just, I mean, who sits in a car for a length of time? I mean, if you're at a place where you're waiting for someone to get out of school or something like that, but they're just sitting out front of my house in this car. And I'm like, no. So I go walking up to them, and the second I walk up, they pull away.
Huh.
Maybe they just saw me and were intimidated. And
that's
probably what it was.
All the muscles.
Probably what it was, yeah.
They thought you was going to whip up on them. But
don't take shit from
me. Get off my yard. With his cane. Get off my yard.
I didn't have my cane.
You didn't have your cane at that time?
No cane. I had my walker. I was using the walker that day.
Very good. Very good. A Mile High Crime time. And
well, I've been seeing some stuff coming on Mile Highs.
There has been some pretty crazy stuff going on. And today we're going to tell you about a pilot who likes Jägermeister. Look, the one thing I will never drink again. I puked on that once, and that was it for me and Jäger.
But you know what? Millions of people have said that, yet it still sells really well.
I hadn't done it since I was like 16. I was like, never. I'll drink Everclear before I drink that shit.
You ever seen a less appealing presentation of an alcoholic beverage than that the bottle, green. Just looking at the bottle, basically screams out, this is poison. Don't drink it.
The green bottle with a stag.
But everybody buys it.
Everybody buys it. And, well, a pilot who was found to actually be 2.5 times the aviation alcohol limit as he was preparing to take off from a transatlantic flight from Edinburgh to New York. He has been jailed for 10 months. Captain Lawrence Russell Jr. was caught with two bottles of Jägermeister in his hand luggage, one of which was half empty.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you drank half a bottle of Jaeger, you don't need to be flying a plane. Right. You don't need to be riding a bike.
You don't need to be doing anything.
Yeah. During a bag search of his bag at Edinburgh Airport, the Delta Airlines pilot was arrested by police and subsequently provided a sample that was said to be not less than 49 milligrams of alcohol and 100 milliliters of blood. That's and look, don't ask me what that comes up to. I'm hoping Woody might be able to do the math on that.
Can't do the math. I can tell you it's too much.
Definitely too much.
Continental flight, right?
Yeah. Well, Russell, who was 63, was sentenced at Edinburgh's court.
Edinburgh.
What is it?
Edinburgh.
Court, I stand corrected, on Tuesday after pleading guilty in March to reporting for duty as a pilot while being impaired. Jailing Russell for 10 months, Sheriff Sterling said a prison sentence had to be imposed for punishment and protection of the public. He was stopped after those two bottles of Jägermeister were discovered in his carry-on bag when it went through the x-ray machine. Mm. Russell, who was wearing his pilot's uniform, probably felt that was going to get him out of it, and wore a lanyard with the word Delta printed on it, admitted that he was the owner of the alcohol. Responding to the sentence, Lynn Berry, who is one of the attorneys, said Lawrence Russell's conduct would have endangered many lives and the consequences could be catastrophic. And I would agree with her. I don't want anybody flying me around with a half a bottle of Jaeger in the system.
Yeah, definitely not.
That plane would have been swerving a lot.
Right? Yeah.
It might have been off track.
It would have been off track for sure. So that's your mile high crime.
Mile high, 10 months for Jägermeister.
Yes.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Oh, Is it time?
It's time for Kinky Crimes for Monday. And y'all like Popeye's chicken?
Love that chicken for Popeye's.
Let me show you a little knowledge from the college. This happened.
Don't ruin Popeye's. You're not going to ruin Popeye's for me.
So a couple was arrested Saturday afternoon for having sex on a sidewalk in front of a Popeye's.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't inside, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Police responded to a report of lewd behavior, and a sheriff's deputy located two suspects, rolling around doing a nasty on a patch of grass across from the Vero Beach restaurant. According to arrest reports, the cops spotted Arnold Mackey, 70,
making
a thrusting motion on the top of April White, 44. Confronted by the deputy, Eric Bashir's, around 2 p.m., this is broad daylight, y'all, the duo began adjusting their shorts. Mackey, the cop noted, the cop said Mackey appeared flustered and was unable to fully pull his shorts up, which left his penis fully exposed to oncoming traffic. All right. Claiming she had done nothing wrong, White struggled with the cop and called him a f- and other obscenities as he sought to restrain her. White, who smelled of alcohol, was escorted. Gently get him some real estate. She was escorted to the ground, where police found four empty bottles of vodka and an unopened bottle of rum. And a motorist called 911 after spotting the duo, said he did a double take because he couldn't believe what he was seeing. The witness added that the female had her legs spread open and that the male was inserting his fingers inside the female in full view of traffic.
Oh my God.
Outside of Popeye's. Looks like the people in the Popeye's drive-thru were waiting there. And so after being read his rights, Mackey said that it was not his intention to expose himself and that he had asked White to leave the side of the road, but she refused. Recognizing that he was in plain view of passing motorists, Mackey said he apologized to the judge, and I'm sure the judge is going to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Both White and Mackey were arrested for exposure of sexual organs, a misdemeanor. White was also charged with resisting arrest and disorderly intoxication, and they're both locked up. White's got a $7,000 bond, and Mackey needs to post $5,000
in front of the Popeyes.
Love that chicken Popeyes.
Gives a whole new meaning to the hot and spicy.
That
right?
was extra crispy. Yeah.
Yeah.
70.
I mean, 70 and 44.
Wow.
Right.
You almost want to give him props.
Almost. Oh, you really want to give him props?
When I'm 70, I'm still wanting to do it in front of Popeyes.
Ground, humping in front of Popeyes. Yeah. That's crazy.
Acceptable in front of Bojangles, but you can't do that in front of Popeyes.
There's your kinky crimes for Monday.
That's a good one.
No, that's a good one.
Popeye's chicken.
Banjo time.
If they'd like to sponsor us.
Yeah, yeah. Spicy chicken sandwich.
That's it.
I get to go home for this story.
New York City.
We got a dummy in Long Island. Or on Long Island, as we used to say. A Long Island scientist copped to running a Breaking Bad-style meth lab that initially landed on police's radar because he called about a break-in at the facility. Whether you're a Walter White fan or you're this guy on Long Island, if you're operating a meth lab, it's important to have strong security protecting your lab. It's even more important to remember that when that security is breached, 911 should probably not be your first call. This guy's name, Matthew Leshinsky, he's only 23, called the cops on himself when he dialed 911 to report a burglary in progress at his purported Ronkonkoma establishment, which was called Quantitative Laboratories LLC. That's according to the Suffolk County DA. When Suffolk police reached the scene, officers found broken glass at the entrance of the lab, a facility which they eventually realized was secretly manufacturing and pumping out methamphetamine and other controlled substances, including the hallucinogenic dimethyl tri... Wow. Don't boom this, Jim. I got
to
get this.
I know how to say that one.
You do? What is it?
Dimethyltryptamine.
That is it.
I know.
Dimethyltryptamine. Hey, you got a closet full? Huh?
That's a lot.
And I'm not booming it. Dimethyltryptamine. Tryptonine.
See, yeah. Folks, I told you I'm straight. If I did drugs, I would have known that.
Not Duro.
They also found $40,000 in cash. The defendant was operating a Breaking Bad-style drug lab and tried to conceal it under the guise of a legitimate business. Suffolk DA Ray Tierney said, "I want to thank the Suffolk County PD, who keenly identified evidence of a clandestine drug lab during their initial response to the scene, as well as our prosecutors and other members of law enforcement for their collaborative efforts to further investigate this defendant and hold him accountable for the deadly drugs he put into our streets and the streets of Suffolk County." I read that long thing because I wanted to show you how long a bow this guy was taking for the crime was handed to them. Yeah. They got called to the friggin' meth lab that, and he's acting like they solved the case of the century. So Leshinsky claimed on his LinkedIn page that Quantitative Laboratories was a cannabis analysis lab. Though he admitted to manufacturing the potent and deadly drugs, his lawyer attempted to paint a positive picture about his client. He called him brilliant, that he was a brilliant scientist who was examining drug addiction for the public good, and he denied that he sold the meth out of the lab. The Farmingville resident pleaded to 13 charges tied to the case, including multiple counts of possession of a controlled substance, unlawful manufacturing of meth, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if you're in the business of cooking up the meth, you probably shouldn't call 911 when you
when
your alarm goes off.
You'll end up with banjos if you do.
You will end up with banjos. But the DA will do a press conference and talk about what a great crime-solving group he's got.
Incredible.
I'm still hungover. It's Monday. And I'm still hungover.
I'm struggling, y'all. It's almost funny to watch. You can have a and as we go along, he gets worse and worse.
And we were then. I didn't think that you're out the box or anything.
No.
And we went back to the hotel. We had
so he hides it good, I guess.
No, he was very well put together.
These things go, Woody is, you know, an A student at the consumption of beverages. Adult beverages. I'm a C. And so if I had two
beers before we went, and then you had a couple glasses of wine, and then we had a beer when we got back.
No, so the wine ended up being four glasses by the time I was done.
Ooh, that's like a whole
because
bottle.
Because we had one
big ass glass,
and then we were working on the second one, and they came and refilled that.
There's no Woody and we. I was drinking beer.
Yeah, Woody was drinking. Well, I had a couple of beers.
Yeah, I know.
So I think I had four beers and four glasses of wine. That's more than
really hurting.
More than enough.
For once, I'm not the one struggling.
We did call Lyft. Very responsible folks.
And then
Roy drove us home. So very, very responsible with that. But I have to say, Roy came in a little while ago and told us we were not likely to get to view the autopsy.
Well, we could have if we stayed long because they were doing another one with a multiple gunshot.
Well, I guarantee you the way I feel right now.
Oh, you couldn't handle it?
There's no way.
It's funny because I think I'm going to have to leave.
There's no way I could survive that right now.
Hey, well, you know what? But maybe
he's hitting that wall.
Should
I admit to what happened last night?
But they're going to hear it later on. No, we'll talk about that in private. But we're about to get a tour of this facility and with the facilities, so I can't wait to see that. I'm going to post a lot of it on social media and everything, thanks to Roy and the two Kristens.
Yeah, great people. People you can trust.
Like our family now. I want to say one other thing real quick. The Lori Johnson, huge lifer, her whole family's huge lifers, and her husband, you know, played with as my doppelganger. Found out yesterday through Jim that she is on Dancing with the Stars at the Centralplex in Baton Rouge.
P-Mac.
It's $10 a vote, and all proceeds go to.
All proceeds go to the Big Brother program.
Yeah, so you know what,
Big
y'all?
Buddy, Big Buddy,
Big Buddy, Big Buddy. Yeah, which is a very worthy cause, and you know, people who don't have, a positive influence in their life as that's an adult or whatever. They come in and they help them. You know, it's just fucking, it's a good cause.
Yeah.
So y'all go and
we'll link it in the description.
And look, it's $10. It's tax deductible. And we'd like to see our best banker and lifer win the competition. And yeah. She's been practicing.
Go for it.
She's been for months. She's been working with some professional dancer.
Oh, good. Because I was worried she was dancing with Josh. That was not going to get her.
Josh would be, if it was on the golf course, so he'd be good. Yeah.
And actually going to be dancing to Proud Mary by Tina Turner, which ought to be very good.
But anyway, y'all give it a vote. And I love and appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much. And please continue to like and share and leave us a review.
Yes.
Somebody sent me a video of news coverage about a family that took in a nutria as a pet.
Yeah.
Nudie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, we'll have to post that for everybody. It was in the social media pages, but they legitimately have one of those things as a family pet.
Yeah.
Like he's on the couch with them, in pictures cuddling with him.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, 22 pounds.
That's a perfect
22-pound rat.
Yeah, I told Mike that people eat them, and he didn't believe me.
People wouldn't believe it. It doesn't, I mean, again, it's
white
the
meat.
First person that had to eat a squirrel or blue crab or whatever crawfish had to be so hungry. Well, the nutria, you know, I heard you talking about the bounties and everything, which was a deal because they eat all the underneath the vegetation.
Oh, yeah.
It was making the marshes erode faster, and they overpopulate like the wild hogs. But absolutely good eating if you do it correctly. Cook it down in a sauce pecan. Outstanding.
I would get on a couch with Albert the Gator before I would get on a couch with Nudie the Nutria.
We eat Albert the Gator too. We'll make an alligator Nutria sauce pecan.
Yeah, Nutria sauce pecan.
I've never tried.
All right, until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.